goodness, jeez, for being here with us today. You are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Good to have you here with us today. Officer Jim Quinto has turned in his badge after 25 years at the Juneau Police Department, and yesterday was his last day on the job. And that's when I had a chance to sit down with him and his boss, Chief Ed Mercer, to look back over his time at the department. Well, both men have a lot in common. They go back a long ways in the department. Both are Alaska Native, Officer Quinto of Athabascan heritage, and Chief Mercer, who is Lincoln. So today is the day that you retire after 25 years. What thoughts are going through your mind?
Just thought of relaxation, just not doing anything, not having to worry about going into work and what to do for the day, or just relax.
But you might get something akin to empty nest syndrome after a while.
Yeah, I think in the springtime I'll probably look for another job.
Wow. Well, so you're very young, so you could probably work in a second career. So, Chief Mercer, tell us a little bit about kind of the hole that's going to be hard to fill after Jim leaves.
I'm very proud of the department and the employees there. But when an employee does 25 years of police service, you can't just remove that and think there's going to be a void, because they bring so much to the table. It's taken many, many years to get to where Officer Quinto is now, opposed to when he first started. So losing Officer Quinto is going to be impactful to the organization. He's established. He's gained trust in the community. He has the characteristical traits that are required in showing empathy and care. We have a job to do, but we could do it also by showing empathy and care when we do it. We don't have to be harsh when we have to enforce, but a lot of times that's just a small part of the job. So losing Jim is going to be big, especially with his current assignment working in the downtown area, and he could talk a little bit more about that and his experiences with it. But we select individuals with certain temperament to be able to go down and interact with people in the downtown area, or whether it be out the valley near the Glory Hall. He's going to be well missed.
So talk a little bit about the temperament that you need for that particular assignment.
I kind of just did, in regards to somebody who's able to be patient. You're dealing with people who are sometimes not the most rational in their thinking, and have patience with them and try to get them to a place where maybe they see for themselves they need help, or maybe they need shelter, and getting them to those locations. And then working with other partners, as far as whether it be mental health or maybe working on real life experiences, so that they learn how to do things for themselves and try to get them the help. It could be as easy as going out and getting them a cup of coffee, or getting them some clothing that maybe they need because the elements they're in.
So they really need to be plugged into the Juno network to connect the person that they find on the street with the services. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about working with the homeless people. I mean, what kind of situations did you encounter? Maybe give us a little specifics, because we see homeless people, but we don't see them. They're kind of unseen, and you are forced to see them.
Yeah. Like a typical day, I'd come downtown, I'd go to the substation, kind of just get my cup of coffee and then just walk around, check all the doors and check the entryways, see if anyone's laying on the ground. If they are, wake them up, kind of get them to move, maybe talk to them for a bit, and then just kind of go about my day. I'd say most of the homeless, they have alcohol issues, or some of them have mental illness, and just try and deal with that.
Well, it sounds like it's a tough situation. Anything that stands out in your mind, something you'll never forget in working with someone?
Yeah. Like, there was a gal down at the Glory Hall when I was downtown. Her name was Amy, and she'd always want to play cards, and I would always sit down at the table and play cards with her. And now she has a home out at First Housing, and occasionally I'll still go out there and play cards with her. So
that must be nice to see, because so often we don't see a good outcome for someone. Yeah. And it's nice to have had the time on the job to know that good does come out of efforts. And I imagine that there are lots of people like Amy that are still sort of works in progress towards what they need. But having that relationship with her, that time you took to sit down, play cards with her, how did that help you do your job?
I think it helped me do my job really well, because I think people at the homeless shelter would see me sitting down playing cards and just realize that I'm just there to hang out. I'm just there to be with them. I'm just there to be one of them.
What are some other ways that you sort of tried to break down the barriers?
I just talk to them, just get to know them. Like another guy, he was starting a job within a few days. He needed some clothes, and so I took him out and bought him some clothes. Just kind of like little things like that. It doesn't take buying anything for anybody, but just got to hang out with them. Just get to know them. A lot of these people are just regular people with just a few issues.
So, Chief Mercer, I'm sure that Officer Quinto is not the only one in your department that reaches out to people in the community in this way, that there's a lot we don't see or hear about.
Yeah, I think that is correct. I mean, what we hear about is a lot of times things where it's controversial in law enforcement on a contact that maybe didn't go that well. So what the public doesn't get to hear about with law enforcement on day-to-day is that they go out and they actually help people. The nice thing about the Juneau Police Department is that all of our officers live here in Juneau. And you would look at that and go, no, that's – no duh. I mean – but
that doesn't happen. A lot of places, especially in rural Alaska, there are commuter officers that work for like a North Slope oil worker shift, 3 or 4 weeks on and then 2 or 3 weeks off.
Yeah. So that certainly helps those officers and our staff connect with the community. I mean, they have children going to school. They go out and play sports. They coach. They do all these different types of things that not only do they see them in the uniform, but they see them as members of the community of Juneau that are participating, actively participating to make our community a better place. So that helps as far as it goes. And you're absolutely right. There's a lot of things that the public doesn't get to see what these officers and my staff do on a daily basis that go out and do things to either build that trust and that rapport with that individual, like what Jim talked about, sitting down playing cards with Amy. And then, you know, going out, buying somebody clothing maybe that they needed at that time. So giving people the benefit of doubt and give them the opportunity to go do the right thing and help them do that.
So one of the things that we see in communities like Juneau or Anchorage is that you've got this group of older officers retiring. And so you kind of needed, as I understand it, a balanced department with the young recruits, middle career level people, and then the mentors, the older people. So now that you've got Jim leaving, how are you in the mentorship department?
Well, right now we look pretty good because there's a lot of Jim Quinos at their range between the 20 and 25. I mean, we have over about 10 or 12 officers in that range. That's good and it's bad because people need to retire too, correct? So when I first got here, it was a well-pyramided department, meaning you had very young officers to mid-range to long-term. And that's the ideal way about running an organization and keeping them long-term. 25 years is a long time. So I think we're doing relatively good at this moment. But that's going to change. A lot of people more and more staff is eligible to retire, and we're going to see younger officers. And with that, the public's going to have to be patient with those younger officers because it takes a long time to get where Officer Quinto is currently, to be able to go out there and have that rapport, respect, and just go out and do the job.
It is a very challenging time to be a police officer because of the fallout from the George Floyd death to just accusations in urban communities of police profiling of minorities. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough time to be an officer, and I wonder how that's affected recruiting.
Recruiting was already difficult before that, and I will tell you that recruiting now is even harder because of that very same thing, the stereotypical approach in law enforcement, trying to put us all in one basket, saying because one department did something that all officers act that way. So we have a tough job in front of us to be able to prove ourselves to our community in which we serve and treat people fairly across the board. And hopefully our reputation shows and shines and brings people in. Right now, it's a struggle. This not just for the Juneau Police Department across the state of Alaska, but also across nationally. I'm just getting people wanting to do the job. And that is very concerning to me as a chief, as far as trying to fill the rank and file.
Is Juneau on the continuum of things? Are things improving, or is it becoming more of a dangerous place?
Well, it all depends on who you talk to, correct? If you were looking at crime statistics and we go back pre-2017, all the way across the state, including Juneau, we saw a steep incline in crime. And a lot of our crime was not necessarily people crime. It was property crime that we saw a high level of crime, burglaries, thefts, those types of things that were going on in our community. I was just on the radio recently, and we talked about crime stats, and since 2017, we're starting to see a gradual and a significant decline in Part 1 crimes, meaning those more serious type crimes in our community. We're seeing a decline in it. So it depends on the individual and how they feel. It's a feeling, correct, as far as if you're walking down the street, do you feel safe? Do you feel safe walking in the downtown area? I think it's from individual to individual. For the most part, I think Juneau's a relatively safe community. Do we have crime? Do we have problems? Absolutely. We have a society here. Sometimes we have people who commit crimes or do bad things. And hopefully working with the community and working with the department that we're able to combat those things so people feel safe in our community. But overall, I think we're doing pretty good.
Well, it'd be interesting to hear from you, Jim, because 25 years ago is when you were wet behind the ears, a green police officer starting here. How much different is Juneau from when you started?
I think it's safer. I think it's
really? In 25 yeah. years, you feel it's a safer place?
I think so.
Why?
Just from working the streets. It's hard to pinpoint, but more crimes were committed. Like working night shift, you work the bar break. I mean, bar breaks back then were
wild.
Were wild and rough. I mean, people would come out of the bars and they'd just start fighting. You just don't get that anymore.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. So, and then I guess just burglaries always seem the same, you know, and thefts. But I think just the bar fights.
And they're so unpredictable. You don't know which way they're going to go. Well, you did do some work, I understand, in JPD's drug unit.
Yes, I did 5 years.
So what did you learn from doing that work?
There was a lot of drugs in town.
What and, kind of drugs?
Back then, it was mostly oxys and heroin and methamphetamine.
If you could wave a magic wand and bring about some changes based on your experience, what would that be?
Just provide more services and more homes for people.
So you think that those are the areas that we should work towards?
Yeah.
So now that we have the new Glory Hall, a lot of people had high hopes that that would really make a dent in Juneau's homeless problem. What are you seeing on the streets?
Seeing less people. I mean, it is making a dent because you're getting some of the people that are homeless or getting them into homes or even into the Glory Hall where they can be sheltered there. So I think it's helping quite a bit.
Well, there has been talk that some of the problems that were downtown have migrated towards other neighborhoods now near the Glory Hall.
Yeah, we're getting complaints of some people out there that they might be kicked out of the Glory Hall, so then they go behind Jordan Creek and put up a campsite back there where they can't be. Or go somewhere by Safeway or somewhere.
So police are always having to adapt the way they address things.
Absolutely. I mean, under this circumstance, I mean, for the longest time, because we have two walk and beat officers assigned to the downtown area, we had to shift that deployment to go out towards the airport area as far as it goes because our calls for service was just shifted from the downtown and went to the out in the valley area, or at least the airport area, where we see the same problems that we were seeing in the downtown area, but it's just at a lower frequency now with the hall moving out there. So, You know, I think to go back on one of your questions on a magic wand, I wish we had a magic wand just to wave at somebody and so that they could make a decision for themselves to go seek out services, because it's obvious to a person looking from the outside that maybe they need help, but the individual from the inside is going, I don't need any help and I don't want no help. So
yeah, there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah, you know, and as a police officer, we're sometimes we don't have the time to give to an individual where we have to deal with that person or that situation and move on to the next call for service. So fortunate thing about walk and beat officer, they're able to spend a little bit more time with the people that they're actually serving or the businesses they're coming in contact, the residents in the area and whatnot, so that we build a collaborative approach as far as trying to work together and report things to us so we can address issues the best we can based on our authority.
Chief Mercer, this is kind of interesting because Jim apparently was in the department before you came to the department.
Yeah, I came in 2000. Jim was already on the rank and file working on as a patrol officer when I transferred over from Sitka. So, yeah, it is interesting. I just had a conversation with Jim this morning about I'm watching people who started their career after me leaving. That's just a weird thought as far as it goes. But I'm very happy for him and his family and what he has to look forward to in his retirement. Again, and he's going to be certainly missed, but I'm pretty sure his family is going to be so happy that he doesn't have to go on a high-risk call and worry about him not coming home at night or getting hurt on duty or interrupting maybe a holiday and whatnot. So Jim has certainly put in his time as a police officer in 25 years of service. My hat's off to him to be able to go out and do the job he did on a daily basis as a line officer out in the field. So I'm happy for him and looking forward to him enjoying another chapter in his life.
So why did you spend so much time out in the field? I know that you've done other jobs in the department, but why did you always kind of fall back to that?
I just never really wanted to promote, never tested or anything. I just enjoyed just being out in the field, just doing all the calls and going call to call or... Yeah.
Well, some people like that sort of direct contact with people and maybe not the desk so much.
Yeah. And the reality is that the apartment needs that. They need the individual like Jim who wants to be out in the field. They're your senior personnel that are going to be seeing those younger officers looking at it going, I want to be like Jim Quino. I want to be able to operate like Jim Quino out there and use that as an example of how to perform as a police officer. And I'm pretty sure every officer that worked with Jim when they're young, they go, well, they've seen him in action out there and go, that's something I want to be. So that's valuable. You need that within a police department.
So, Jim, what do you tell people? What do you tell your younger officers?
Just enjoy it and just enjoy the time, go to calls and just enjoy it. That's what it's about.
It seems like that's a contradiction in terms because it can be tough at times, and I'm sure it's not enjoyable, but it sounds like you're saying enjoy what you can out of the job. And
yeah.
And what is it that you enjoy?
I enjoy just going out and talking to people and just getting out there and seeing people, just going calls and just dealing with situations that come up. I mean, every situation's different. I've learned in the police department that not one is the same. And so...
So you're a student of the situation, knowing how to respond to each.
Nice thing about it, I think we're going to see Jim around in the community. You know, he's established in the community, and even though he may not be out there wearing that uniform, people are going to see him around the community, and I'm looking forward to seeing Jim. I said to him, don't be a stranger. Come back and say hello. It's easy just to say goodbye. But 25 years, if you think about it, we start our careers as young people. Over half of our life, we've been wearing the uniform and interacting. So we truly have our immediate family, but we have department family that we interact with every single day. So it's quite a transition to go from one day you're doing it, and next day you wake up and you're done. So it's going to be an interesting transition for Jim, I think, as any person who retires.
Well, congratulations, Jim, and
thank you.
I hope that you enjoy your time, and thank you for sharing a little bit about what you have done on your job, and thank you, Chief Mercer, for giving some added perspective.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having us, and we really appreciate coming in here and talking about our staff and talking about positive things about what our staff does out there on a day-to-day basis. So we really appreciate that.
Well, I think it's hard when you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, whether it's playing cards with Amy or trying to help a man get some clothes. So thank you so much.